back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Giletto.
What up, what up?
What's up? Now, you can follow the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can follow me at K Collington and Mike at Mike _ Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and lastwordonsports.com. Now, it's a big show today.
Yeah, it's pretty big. We got some stuff to talk about.
We expected these summer shows to be a little more casual, a little more laid back. And then this week, you know, we had Jake Arrieta throw a hissy fit, and we have the Brian Colangelo burner story to talk about, which we missed last week by about 6 hours.
Right.
In the good old You Would Think tradition, news for that story broke right about an hour after we went live. And now, if you missed this story, we're going to get into it at the back half of the show. Brian Colangelo apparently had multiple Twitter accounts where he was using... He was using those accounts to vent his frustration and to talk about players and to leak team information.
Yep.
And we'll get into that.
We'll get into that later.
We'll get into that in the second half of the show. We're going to start it off with the Phillies. Phillies have had a pretty rough road trip. They got outscored 12-1 over the course of this weekend.
Yes.
The only run coming via Jake Arrieta home run.
Yeah.
And he vented some frustration after the game.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Because I think it's kind of obvious that defensively, they haven't been good.
No, defensively, they haven't been good. And then the bats have been pretty bad, especially this weekend. One run.
Right. Yeah, one run.
And it was from Arrieta.
Their hitters didn't produce one run.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
So he basically said, I have a quote here. It's overall, it's just a horseshit series. We've had bad defensive shifts. We had a check swing. Kingery should have gone a second on that play, and then they got three hits, the home run. And he's basically saying, just going into it, saying it was just a bad series.
He did kind of sweep his responsibility under the rug there a little bit.
A little bit.
Right? Like, his job is supposed to shut down those three hits and that home run. But at the same time, you can get how, you know, the guy's frustrated. The team did not play well behind him on Sunday. And, you know, when you're coming off a Friday, Saturday where you get shut out in back-to-back games, you go 22 innings without a run. I get the frustration. You know, he did gloss over his responsibility there a little bit.
Yeah.
But
he's kind of going off about the defense. He said, you know, we're the worst in the league with shifts, so we need to change that. We need to have some accountability. We need to have an accountability check. This is a key moment in our season. We had a pretty good April, a pretty good May. June isn't starting out well.
Yeah, and we've kind of worried about that from this Phillies team for a while, is that they are a young team, and they started playing well, and we were worried if the bottom was going to fall out. And over the last two series, you know, this road trip that they've been on, the bottom's fallen out. And now the question is going to be, can they recover?
Right.
Because if they can't recover, this team...
Now, baseball's a long season, yeah. So these things happen.
But that means there's a long time to recover and make it up. Or there's a long time to spiral.
Yeah.
Right? You got almost 100 games left. If you lose 70 of them because you spiraled and lost control, then you're in some trouble.
Yeah.
And now if you win 50 of them, you know, you're in good shape.
Right.
But it's definitely a critical point in the season.
I think
Arrieta absolutely nailed that bit. And it's definitely a turning point. If this team recovers and bounces back, maybe getting home will be good for this team after one more road series here this week. You know, maybe coming home will be good for them, getting back in the home ballpark, getting back to hitting last. But right now, it's tough to watch Phillies games. They're not playing well.
I mean, no, they're pitching really well still. I think in the preseason... Yeah.
Aaron Nola is probably a Cy Young candidate.
Yeah, I was just about to say, preseason, Nola... in Vegas was 25-1 to win the Cy Young. He's now 10-1.
Yeah, so I absolutely believe that. Yeah, Aaron Nola is a Cy Young candidate for this team.
Yeah, no, he's pitching well.
And it's weird to say that the pitching isn't the problem, because for the last 3 or 4 years, the pitching has been the problem. And the whole rotation is actually pitching really well.
Yeah, pitching really well. Pavetta,
the bullpen
Arrieta
is playing decent.
Yeah, Sir Anthony Domínguez. I don't believe he might have given up a run over the series. I'll have to
check, but
he still looks like the real deal.
Either way, it's one of those things that if the bats start clicking, and I think if the bats start clicking, the team gets better defensively, right? You get that confidence back. But as of right now, Philly's got to start putting runs across the plate. Like, yeah, I know absolutely. That sounds silly, but I mean, you got to score more runs than your opponent to win the game.
That's usually how it
that's
works.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Phillies aren't doing that. And Jake Arrieta definitely showed some frustration with it. And it's tough to, you know, it's tough to talk about because they're not playing good baseball.
I just looked it up. He has still not given up a run.
Sir Anthony Dominguez?
Sir Anthony Dominguez, yep. 1-0. He's played in 11 games, 13 and two-thirds inning pitched, 15 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's starting to look like the real deal. Yeah. That's a good number, too, 15 strikeouts and 13 and two-thirds.
Yeah.
It's a good ratio.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not going to dwell too long on the Phillies because, again, there's really not a ton to say, right? Like, it's... They're just playing poorly. Like, they're just playing poorly.
Yeah, but like I said, it's baseball where it's a long season. You're going to have your ups and downs.
Yeah, it's only right? June, and there's plenty of time, but we're now seeing probably the low point of the Philly season.
Yeah.
And if they don't turn it around in a hurry, that dream of the playoffs might start to slip away.
Yeah, also, there was another story with this Phillies team. Rhys Hoskins took a foul ball to the face.
Yeah.
Broke his jaw. So he's out for a little while. He doesn't need surgery, but he went on the DL. He's out for a little while. So that means Dylan Cousins was able to come in and get his first action.
Sure.
Because, I mean, he's a good prospect that people are talking about. So
yeah, we'll see how he does.
Yeah, he's only had four at-bats. He had one hit in the four. So we'll see how it goes.
He got drafted in 2012, so it's kind of time to put up or shut up with him.
I mean, baseball players take a really long time to develop. Well, but the whole minor league system.
It also depends on if he... I don't actually know Dylan Cousins that well. It also depends on if he got drafted out of high school or college. If he got drafted out of college 6 years ago...
I'm pretty sure it was out of high school. He was born in 94.
Okay, yeah, then it was out of high school. No, yeah. That's fine. Then it's time for him to start coming up, but we're not worried about him, right? Yeah. If he gets drafted out of college at 22 years old 6 years ago... He's probably not going to be an MLB player, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, he's a good prospect. He's a good power guy. He's 24 years old, 6'6", 235. You know, he's a good prospect to have. And, you know, we saw his first action this weekend with, you know, Rhys Hoskins going down.
Yeah, so. he could turn into something, even if he's just a utility, you know, injury, replacement type of player for this team. You know, a depth never hurts.
Absolutely not.
So, yeah, we'll see how Dylan Cousins does, but. All right. Any more Phillies anything you want to talk about here?
No, I don't think so.
So it's time to jump into the big story?
Yeah, let's jump on. Let's jump into it.
So the big story this week, the Sixers still haven't fired Brian Colangelo.
It's weird that they actually let this go into this week.
Dude, we all expected a decision on Friday, right? One of those 4:55, right before the work week ends, they release a press conference or they release a press statement saying he's fired. And here we are, Monday morning at time of recording, and he's still here.
Yeah.
He's still here.
It's just a bizarre story, man.
LeBron's making jokes. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, LeBron made a comment about it over the weekend after, I think, game one of the NBA Finals. Might have been on Thursday, I'm not sure. And, you know, I have sources outside this area. Apparently, it's a national story.
Yeah.
And we're a joke.
Yes.
Apparently the Sixers organization is a
100%.
Joke nationally because you can't fire the guy who's got five fake Twitter accounts that he's using to trash your players.
Yeah, like how fragile mentally do you need to be in order to do this? I mean,
I don't know. This is some clown stuff here.
We've seen it before with Kevin Durant, who I hate Kevin Durant.
Sure.
I think he's a clown. And I think he's also fragile mentally. He doesn't know if he wants to be a tough guy or, you know, this panderer. But yeah, we've seen it with players. And I wouldn't doubt it if a lot of GMs across the league have burner accounts.
I guarantee you.
Maybe not five, and maybe them not bashing anybody.
There's a non-zero number of fake Twitter or of separate Twitter accounts out there.
To keep an eye on close guys or you know, the guys that are yours, but... He admitted to one of them.
Okay.
He didn't tweet out anything, or from that account, there was nothing tweeted out, I don't believe. But it seemed like I think all the accounts are following like the same people from back when he was...
Yeah, the same like 120 people.
back to when he was in like Toronto and
right. The carryover is or the crossover between the follows. Like they're clearly all linked, right? None of the Twitters have tweeted anything since these stories broke. They follow the same people. The things they say, like the language they use and the cadence used in the tweets is remarkably similar across all five accounts. Three of the accounts have been locked and they all have the same. We don't know if they all have the same exact phone number for password retrieval, but three of them all end in the same two digits. They all end in 9-1. Brian Colangelo's wife, her cell phone also ends in 9-1.
It's a little weird.
The evidence is piled about Joel Embiid high.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's having a ball with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Joel Embiid is having a ball with it.
Yeah, he is.
And it's just an embarrassment.
It is. Because they turned into, you know, they were back when the whole process was going on with Hinkie and everything. They were winning 10 games a year. Winning 10 games a year. And they were the laughingstock.
Yep.
They finally get into the playoffs. They win a playoff round. They
win 50 games.
They look like a really good team. They have a really good future. Then this happens. And now they're the laughingstock again.
Hey, Mike.
What's that?
This would never happen in the NHL.
No,
it wouldn't.
I can't say that for certain.
Come on.
No, I really can't.
Come on.
I can't. We're not going to have an NBA versus NHL discussion here.
Yeah, I know.
But I can't say for certain that it would.
Come on.
I can't.
The NHL is built on respect much more than the NBA is. This wouldn't happen.
I'm not talking about the NBA versus NHL.
That's fine.
You're not baiting me into that.
That's fine. Because you know you're not going to win it.
Listen, I'm a bigger fan of the NHL over the NBA, clearly.
That's fine.
But I'm just not having this discussion with you. We've had this discussion too many times.
Anyway, Brian Colangelo, for some reason, still has his job.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that they let it go into this week.
He hasn't gotten suspended. He hasn't stepped away. He hasn't, like, he, as far as anyone's concerned, he's still 100%, you know, all hands on deck for the draft in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a weird part, too, is the draft's literally right around the corner.
Right? And, like, how... Okay. It's 2 years before the Sixers need to sign all their guys, basically. Now is your window, right? And your owners have said they're willing to pay the luxury tax. So, like, you don't have to worry about extending any of your Embiids and your Fultzes and your Simmons for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
Now... This year, this window, this offseason,
yep,
is when you need to sign your superstar.
Yeah, I mean, does this kind of...
What superstar wants to come play for this guy?
I was going
to
say, does this ruin, you know, the chances of LeBron coming here?
Yes. What superstar wants to come play for this organization that puts up with this clown show?
Okay.
Like, this is an absolute circus.
It is.
It's an absolute circus. This should have been a two-day process. Tuesday, news breaks, Colangelo has multiple burner accounts. Wednesday, Colangelo fired.
Not necessarily.
No.
No,
fired.
Not necessarily.
Fired.
No, not necessarily.
Fired.
Not necessarily, because it could have been somebody out to get him. I mean, it doesn't appear that way.
No, it's...
Now.
Okay.
But...
Fine. Thursday, Colangelo fired.
Right.
When the evidence starts piling up this high... That this guy is using Twitter accounts to bash your team, to bash Sam Hinkie, to bash Joel Embiid, to bash Markel Fultz, to trash the entire organization, you lose all credibility with any free agents.
Yeah. I mean, the players will have no trust in you.
This...
I mean, even if it was his wife, like, you have to know your wife is doing something. And even if you don't, there's still no trust involved and you have to be gone. Even if it's just your wife.
This is why I hate the NBA.
Okay, we're not going to have an NBA versus NHL discussion.
No, I'm not having an NBA versus NHL. This is just Kyle versus NBA.
Okay.
I hate it. It's stupid.
I mean, it's entertaining. They know how to keep people entertained.
It's entertaining for all the wrong reasons. It's entertaining for the same reason Bobby Clark versus Eric Lindros was entertaining.
Okay, but the NBA is definitely a drama league. And people, like, I would argue it's more entertaining off the court than on.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's just how it is.
That says something about your on the field or your, you know, your on I on what, court what are you trying product. To say? On field makes on sense. Field. On ice makes sense. On court sounds dumb. It's another reason to hate the NBA. Check. Anyway, your in-building product. It says something pretty bad about it if people would rather hear about your players on Twitter than watch them on the court.
Yeah.
Anyway, Colangelo's a joke.
I agree. I mean, like we've said, it's turned the Sixers into a laughingstock.
Yeah, and like how are you supposed to?
And not only did he bash everybody, but he like released medical concerns about I think Jahlil Okafor. Like that's right. A HIPAA violation at this point.
I mean, probably yeah. Like I don't know HIPAA well enough to know if that's a violation or not, but it's got to be. I'm sure it's getting looked at, right? And the Sixers' only statement on the matter has been, "We're going to do an independent investigation." It's been 5 days.
Yeah.
It's been seven or 6 days.
What?
Twitter knows what happened.
Now, here's the question.
Why don't the Sixers know what happened?
I'm sure they do.
I
want to give the Sixers more credit, but like, are they really just trying to sweep this thing under the rug and hope everybody forgets about it?
The fact that they haven't fired him yet makes me think he's going to stay.
I don't think he will because Philadelphia is a very passionate city. And we're not going to forget about this.
Okay, then why haven't they fired him yet?
I don't know.
What are they looking for?
I don't know.
They have all the reasons they need.
They're looking for some sort of evidence that it wasn't him, and they can't find it.
Right. They're trying to find a loophole. They're trying to find a way out. They're trying to find an exit. And I guarantee you, somebody higher up than him has already had a conversation with him and said, I need the truth. And he said, yeah, it was me. And they're trying to wiggle their way out of it.
Right.
And it's not going to happen. But every day that goes by without Brian Colangelo being fired, it turns the Sixers into an even bigger joke.
Now the question, if they fire Brian Colangelo.
I don't care.
Does Sam Hinkie come back?
Does he make
a return?
I don't actually care.
Does he rip the shirt open and become Superman? Is that what happens?
I don't actually care. This was great for me because this is a chance for me to bash the Sixers and bash the NBA and bash Brian Colangelo. Because if you've been listening to the show for more than 6 days, you know how I feel about the NBA. But yeah, this was just a great opportunity for me to trash on that.
I just don't understand how somebody that makes millions, as a GM in the NBA. Can just be so mentally fragile and so insecure that you have to prop yourself up to make yourself seem like the good guy. Because that's basically what it was. He's bashing Hinkie because when he came in, a lot of the Hinkie defenders were like, oh, well, why would you fire Hinkie? Why would you, bring this guy in? Blah, 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 blah. So he was bashing these guys to make himself look better in the end. Right. And it's just a joke. It looks bad.
Right. The guy hates every time he hears the phrase, trust the process. He hates it because it's not his. He didn't come up with it.
Right.
It's not his brainchild. It's the Sam Hinkie project. And he's now winning.
That's also too. I hate the term the process because like what they tanked. It's not that hard to tank. It's not that hard to lose games.
Did you hear that the Buffalo Bills have trademarked the phrase respect the process?
I feel like it's a troll job. If the Buffalo Bills are good at one thing, it's trolling.
I know, because they're going to tank this year.
Fine, but like tanking's not this world-beating strategy. Like people have been doing it for years and years and years. That's how the Astros got good in the last couple years. They tore it down, rebuild.
Nothing in life is marketable until someone markets it. Sam Hinkie marketed tanking. He made it cool. He made the phrase trust the process the thing to say.
I understand, but it's just not like people are saying, oh, the process. Like, it's not a world-beating strategy. People have been doing it for years and years and years.
People in football didn't start throwing the ball forward until someone did it. Somebody had to innovate the forward pass. Sam Hinkie made tanking cool.
Okay, but he's not the first one to do it.
Okay, but he's the first one to put a name to it. He's the first one to sell t-shirts that say trust the process. And it's working.
Sure.
If anybody on earth says the phrase, trust the process, the first thing anybody thinks is Sixers.
Yeah.
He did his job.
I mean, sure.
He did his job.
I just hate the phrase, the process, because it's really not a great strategy. Like, it's not hard to lose. It's just not.
Listen.
Like, I could be the GM of the Sixers and lose.
from a marketing perspective, did it work?
Sure. Well, I don't know because it got him fired, so I really don't know that.
Okay. And I'm by no means a Sam Hinkie defender or one of his fanboys because I don't care about the NBA, including Sam Hinkie. If he had gotten, if he hadn't gotten fired for one more season, we would still say all these things about Sam Hinkie.
Sure.
Right. And, like, and the result would have been the same. Brian Colangelo didn't do anything significant,
right,
to turn this team from 8 wins, 10 wins to 52 wins.
I mean, he brought in JJ Redick and a couple other pieces, but
that was always part of Sam Hinkie's plan anyway. You load up on the prospects and the young players, and then when those guys are on the cusp of being ready, you bring in a couple of veteran free agents and boom, you have a full blown team.
Sure.
That was always Sam Hinkie's plan.
Oh, of course.
That was going to happen regardless of if it was Hinkie or Colangelo.
Yeah, and I don't think...
So Brian Colangelo's done nothing.
No, and I don't even think Hinkie got fired by, quote-unquote, the Philadelphia organization. Like, he got pushed out by the NBA. Like, Adam Silver basically said, like, no...
The NBA doesn't want tankers.
Yeah, they basically forced Colangelo in and forced Hinkie out, and I think that's clear.
Well, yeah, and that was going to happen. Again, that was going to happen regardless, right? And the process, quote unquote, the process was still going to take the same exact track, whether it was Hinkie or Colangelo.
Right.
So, that's our Sixers talk. Every day that goes by without the Sixers firing Colangelo pushes them further away from a title.
I don't think one has to do with the other.
If
I mean, I understand why you're saying that because
if it costs you LeBron,
right,
he pushed you away from a title.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
If it costs you a Kawhi Leonard or one of these big free agents this year or next year, if
Leonard's not a free agent, he'll
be a free agent next year.
Is he a free agent next
year? Yes, he'll be a free agent. That's why they want to trade him this year, because he's only got 1 year left.
Okay, that makes sense.
They want to get value for him. I know. How do I know more about an NBA topic than you do?
I don't know.
Anyway, if it costs you LeBron James this year or costs you Kawhi Leonard next year, he's pushing you further from a title, period.
Yep. At this point, after game 4 of the finals, because Golden State's just going to sweep because it's the NBA and that's what Golden State does. But after game 4, I'd go to LeBron and say, hey, LeBron, come to Philly. You could be, our star player, our superstar, and you can be the GM. Why the hell not?
I mean,
here's the GM job.
If, again, we're recording this on Monday morning in kind of our usual time slot.
And he's probably going to get fired at like 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right as soon as we're done recording.
We record.
Yep.
Like, we got to keep Twitter up just to be sure we don't actually literally miss it. We fully expect him to get fired by the time this show goes live because, like, that's how this show goes.
Yep. That's usually how it works.
Right. That being said, every day that goes by without you firing him, you go further, further, and further down the circus route.
Yeah.
Right? Call Barnum and Bailey. Get the elephants in town. When they finally fire him, have him ride out of town on an elephant.
Yeah.
Because at that point, that's where we're at. And it's an absolute joke. It's an absolute travesty.
Yeah, so far I haven't seen anything about him getting fired, so right. I don't believe he has yet.
When people bash people who care about sports, this is why.
Yeah.
This is why those people sometimes have a valid argument.
Right.
Hey, why do you care about a bunch of grown adults playing a game?
And it's entertaining.
Like, right. Whatever defense you have goes right out the window when this story breaks. Colangelo has fake Twitter accounts that he's bashing players with. Wow, I look stupid for liking this team.
Right.
It's just this concept.
It's just a bizarre situation altogether. I can't remember the last time anything weird's happened.
I was gonna say, we're gonna use this to transition into some other weird things that have happened in sports history, and particularly in Philadelphia sports history. What's the weirdest thing you ever remember happening in Philly sports?
I don't know. I can't really think. Like, I mean, there's the famous ones of, the batteries that J.D. drew or the snowballs at Santa Claus and all the dumb media cliches.
Let's take a minute and clear the air about that. And I'm talking about snowballs at Santa.
Okay.
Now, if you're listening to the show and you don't know the history of Philadelphia sports, it's time to get educated. And if you do know, please forgive me. I'm going to retell one of Philadelphia's greatest stories. So, snowballs at Santa. This is something you hear every time a fan misbehaves, every time we boo McNabb at the draft, every time blah, 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 blah. Every time some moron vomits on a kid at a Phillies game, you hear about, oh, these are the same heathens who once threw snowballs at Santa Claus. It's time to tell that story in a public setting. And it's been told a couple times before. Glenn Macnow told it in the Great Philadelphia Fan Book. There are places you can find the story, but if you haven't heard it, here's what happened. It was the 50s, 60s? It was a long time ago.
I think it was the 60s, right? Around there.
I believe it was the late 50s. I'm not sure. It was Christmas time. The week before Christmas or 2 weeks before Christmas. And the Eagles were playing at Franklin Field. And the plan was to have Santa ride around on a sleigh at halftime. It's very nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the game starts. We move into the second quarter. Santa's not here. Santa hasn't shown up yet. So the Eagles need to find a Santa. They had the sleigh. They didn't have Santa. So they go in and they pluck Frank Olivo out of the crowd. Frank Olivo is about 5'2", about 130 pounds.
Right.
He is a very small man. He is not roly-poly Santa. He is not red cheeks, big jiggly
belly. He's not your typical Santa, what you would
think.
He's
not Santa Claus.
Yep.
And he was hammered. He was off his face because he's in an Eagles game, obviously. So yes, the fans threw snowballs at him. Yes, they did. But it was not Santa. It was some dork from South Philly in a Santa suit. Because he happened to wear a Santa suit to the game. That's why they picked him. He was about 5'3", about 110 pounds. They were not pelting Father Christmas. They were pelting some drunk Italian.
Jamoke.
Right. Right. Some drunk Italian dude from South Philly.
Yep.
Can we let that die, please?
I think please? We're getting to the point where it's starting to.
They just said it towards the end of the regular season. Flyers played Washington in Washington. And they mentioned the bracelet thing from a couple years ago.
Which was a joke.
Which was a travesty. And then they brought up snowballs at Santa Claus. I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah, I heard something. I think it was like the MLB Network or something. They were talking about Philly, you know, the Phillies and Philly sports fans. And one of the guys on the broadcast brought up snowballs at Santa Claus. And one of the co-hosts actually said, like, come on, man. That was, you know, that was in the 50s.
60 years ago.
Yeah. One of them even said, like, come on, like, you know, take it easy. Bring up something from today.
Right. At least bring up J.D. Drew. And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that was, you know, two or three guys throwing.
Right, right. Okay, J.D. Drew is the other story. Let's talk about this one real quick. This turns into Kyle rants against the media, but
hey,
here we are.
We like Kyle ranting and shit.
So, J.D. Drew, drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies with the first overall pick in the 95?
I was going to say 94,
I
95.
Believe it was the 95 draft. I'm not sure. Mike's going to look it up. J.D. Drew announced before the draft that he was not going to play for the Philadelphia Phillies if they drafted him. Because they knew he had the number one pick. So, the Phillies drafted him. And J.D. Drew sat out that year. He sat out...
1997.
97?
Yeah.
Okay. He sat out a full calendar year and re-entered the draft. Because in the MLB, you can do that. You can sit out the full year and re-enter the draft.
Well, hold on. That's actually... the second time that he did that.
So the Phillies selected him in the 96 draft.
No. The Phillies drafted him in the 97 draft. The San Francisco Giants drafted him in the 94 draft.
Out of high school.
Yes.
That's different.
Okay.
That's actually different because he chose to go to college.
Right.
That's, you can't knock the guy for that.
Right.
But the Phillies drafted him in the 97 draft?
97 draft. Yeah, okay. And then the Cardinals drafted him the year after
that. The Phillies drafted him in the 97 draft. He decided to sit out the entire year, re-enter the draft, and went to... the Cardinals. I don't blame the Cardinals.
No.
They took the best player available.
Yep.
I blame this tool bag for not going where he was drafted, signing a contract for more money than he'd ever seen in his life, and playing Major League Baseball.
You see it a lot in baseball, though. I mean, the rules
not
are there
much.
For a reason.
I guarantee you not that much. Not with a first overall.
He wasn't first overall. He was second. But
okay, whatever.
The Phillies drafted him second overall, and then the Cardinals drafted him fifth overall.
Okay. Very, very high draft pick. I guarantee you don't see that in the top 10 very often. Anyway, so he comes to Philadelphia. in his first trip as a Cardinal. And it happened to be on a day where the Phillies gave away toys that had batteries in them.
You would never see that today.
Right. For this exact reason.
I'm sure it would.
Two D-cell batteries got thrown in his direction. The media has turned this into hordes and thousands of batteries raining down and breaking his skull and causing him severe damage. Stop it. He was in the outfield. Two or three batteries got thrown in his direction. None of them landed particularly close to him. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
I was at that game as a young child. It wasn't a big deal. I was about six. Don't remember it. It was three batteries. Stop it. Right. Stop it.
Yep.
Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Cleveland throws full beer cans at their football team every year.
Then last year, the year before that, they threw a dildo onto the field?
I believe it. Denver.
Was it last year or the year before that?
Denver, they throw batteries at their own players. They broke some guy's orbital bone a couple years ago with a D-cell battery in a football game.
Yeah.
Like, we get a bad rap, and I understand that. We're a tough place to play. You come in wearing an opposing jersey. You're going to catch your share of flack. But leave us alone. We're not worse than any other sports city. We just care. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some stupid morons. A month ago, game six against the Penguins, there was a bunch of stuff thrown on the ice.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Full beer cans.
That happens everywhere,
though. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not worse than any other city. Just because we have...
Oh, we're worse than some cities.
Well, we're, no, that's fair.
That's because some cities like Miami just don't care less about
They're too
sports.
Busy on the beach.
Yeah.
Well, think about four sport cities, and it happens in all of them.
Yeah.
It happens in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in Boston. It happens in L.A.
Chicago.
Maybe not L.A. quite as much.
Nah, Chicago.
In Chicago. It happens everywhere that people care.
Yep.
Detroit has this problem. Every single four-sport city has had this problem at some point in the last decade. I guarantee you. You can look it up, and if someone would like to tell me I'm wrong, you can find me on Twitter at K Collington. If you'd like to tell me that I'm wrong, please tell me that I'm wrong.
You're wrong about a lot, but I disagree with you here. I agree with you here.
Right. Philly fans legitimately, genuinely get a bad rap.
Absolutely.
And we've earned some of it, but the Vet's also been closed for a decade. We're not beating people up in the 700 level anymore. And they deserved it because they were Cowboys fans. Like, we're not actively animals anymore.
No.
Now, in the Vet, there was some of that. And I'll give that to them, right? 700 level of the Vet for an Eagles game is not a place you want to bring your children. I understand that. Okay?
Yeah.
But even the cheapest ticket in Lincoln Financial Field at only $200 a seat.
Only?
plus you got to buy your seat license. Plus you got to pay $40 for parking. Plus you got to pay for beer and food. Anyway, the Link is a nice environment. Now, if you're a jerk... And if you stand up wearing a Cowboys jersey after every first down, woohoo, how about them Cowboys? Yeah, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, you have to expect
You're going
to
get yourself in trouble.
What else do you expect?
But if you come and have a nice conversation with the people around you and be respectful, that's all you need to be is respectful. You don't need to say, I like the Eagles. You don't need to go in on the Eagles bandwagon. Just don't be a douche.
Right.
Like, that's all it takes. We don't have high expectations. Just come in, be kind of respectful, be funny. If you can make me laugh, even if I hate your team, if you can make me laugh, we're cool.
Right.
We're cool.
Or if you let me crash your tailgate.
Shout out to those folk in Pittsburgh. Like, Philly fans just get a bad rap.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to think of other bizarre sports stories.
There have been a bunch.
I mean, if you want to go back to, like, things that are serious, I mean, you had the OJ chase.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Well, there's goofy moments, right? There's a couple home runs that have gone off of somebody's head.
One famous one like that. Yeah.
There are some goals where the guy wings it around the board. It takes a bad bounce, and the goalies come around the net to play the puck, and it trickles
Jonathan
in the open
Quick
net.
Jonathan Quick had a bad one of those.
So. Brandon Manning had one of those this year.
Yeah.
Elite sniper Brandon Manning.
Yeah.
It's the only way he can
score.
And then
you had Jameis Winston stealing some crab legs a couple years ago.
That was bizarre. Yeah, there's some weird stuff. And we're talking about these in relation to the Colangelo story, right?
Because it's a weird story.
I honestly don't think any of these are that weird compared to Colangelo. Colangelo is by and away.
I don't know about that because we saw it from Durant a few years ago, who tweeted something out from the wrong account. I think he got caught with one, but if you have one, you probably have more.
I mean, probably not.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you think that one account is enough to vent your frustrations?
Maybe.
Right?
But
You would think. And one account is enough to vent your frustrations. Why do you need five?
Yeah.
Dude, I can't remember the password for my one account. He remembers the passwords for six?
Uh-huh.
Outrageous.
Yep.
Brian Colangelo is either the dumbest man alive or the smartest man alive, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
My money's on dumbest.
I don't know. You're a GM of an NBA organization. You got to have some sort of smarts, right?
Yeah.
I guess there's just a lack of self-awareness.
I guess. Either way, it's a weird story.
It is. I mean, there's been a bunch of them over the story. I mean, you have Mike Tyson biting off, you know, Holyfield's ear.
That's a good one.
That's a weird one.
I'm thinking more about, like, off-the-field stuff, right?
I mean, you had...
players get arrested all the time. That's not really that weird.
Yeah, the Penn State scandal, which is an insanely weird...
That's weird. Let's try to think of off-the-field stuff that didn't involve arrests.
Manti Te'o getting catfished.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Wow, I forgot about that story. Manti Te'o getting catfished. That is a good one.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's happened to more than we know about.
Probably, yeah.
NFL player Cassius March got his Magic collection stolen.
I'm not too familiar with this.
$20,000 worth of Magic cards went missing.
Okay. Do you want to explain what Magic cards are to our audience or not
Magic,
really?
Magic the Gathering is a collectible card game, a trading card game. Cassius March plays it. A whole bunch of celebrities play it. Stephen Colbert plays it. You can look up lists. If you don't know what Magic the Gathering is, that's fine. But Cassius March was playing for the Seahawks. He went in the offseason. He went to a tournament in the Seattle area. His backpack got stolen with $20,000 worth of Magic cards in it.
Wow.
Yeah. And he ended up not finding it.
Really?
He ended up having to essentially just rebuy his whole collection.
I mean, he had the money for it, I'm sure, right?
I mean, not really. He's never been like an elite player. $20,000 is a lot of money if you're only making the league men. Regardless, that's a weird story.
You had Pete Rose getting banned for baseball. That's a pretty big one.
That's up there. And for the record, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Like, Are we going to go to the Hall of Fame discussion again?
I don't know if you want to go into the Pete Rose. I don't actually know your feelings about it. I believe firmly that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame as a player.
Maybe. I mean, I think if he handled it differently. I think he handled it differently. The fact that, like, he just denied.
He came clean in...
In a book to sell a book. That's the reason he came clean.
Listen.
Is to sell a product.
Listen.
He sold his soul, essentially.
Your all-time hits leader...
That's fine.
Listen, let me finish. Your all-time hits leader is not in the Hall of Fame because of something he did non-violently in his post-playing career. Now, if he had killed somebody or if he had et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I would be full-blown on board, no Hall of Fame.
There's some people that would argue with you.
I know.
That's worse.
Right. Stop it.
No, I'm just saying.
Stop it.
Because you're messing with the integrity of the game.
As a manager.
It doesn't matter.
The all-time hits king needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Unless there are extraordinary circumstances otherwise. And I don't think there are extraordinary circumstances otherwise.
And I don't know if he ever will.
I know. And I don't think he will. I think if he gets inducted, he'll be inducted posthumously.
What do you mean?
After he dies,
yeah,
Mike.
Okay.
That's what posthumously means.
I don't know.
You had the thousand-yard stare there.
I don't have a dictionary with me.
Anyway, all right. I think that's enough for today. I ranted too much. My blood pressure's high.
We like when you rant.
My blood pressure's high.
It's usually
I can't
me
take
yelling
it
at you, ranting at you.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this week's show. You can let us know what you think on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @KCollington and Mike at @Mike_Giletto. You can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, LastWordOnSports.com. And our logo is created for us by @BennyTheJet55, our buddy Ben. You heard him a couple weeks ago. Feel free to follow the show on iTunes. We actually had a little bit of a spike in listenership last week.
We did.
And we would love to continue that. And you guys can catch the show every week. We record on Monday. It's usually out Monday night. If Mike falls asleep, it's Tuesday morning. And we try to do this pretty consistently. And follow the show on Twitter. Listen.
I think it's been pretty consistent.
Tell your friends. Review us on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. And we'll see you next week. It's time to get educated.